So Abba says, I am grafted in my Guru. You remember the event of Ramakrishna Paramahansa? Once Vivekananda's disciple, he told him, look at that one plate full of honey. He told it is a sea of immortality. Well, Vivekananda, where from you? Eat it. He said, I'll eat it from the corner. He said, why? Because my wings may not be besmeared with the honey. I may not fly, may drown. Oh, dear friend, it is a sea of immortality. Plunge headlong into it. I am quoting all this in my. What do people think of spirituality? What it is really? What we are seeing, we sometimes discuss it in that. So one is grafted to the Guru, there is no fear of anything. This one is the Guru. And Guru is world made flesh, and world is eternal. God is spirit, and we are spirit in man. First of all, we are the two temple of God. The other one is, as spirit is eternal, why should we fear we should die? So you become one with the world made flesh. No fear of death. From then on, there is no birth, no death, no more coming and going in creation. No negative power, for one is down into the very nectar of life, one is plunging in it. Anyone who has done this has no fear of death. I'll explain you, these things have been explained in the scriptures by giving examples. So one painter of one country went over to another country. He went to the king of that place and told him, we know the art of printing very wonderful. Would you give us a chance to show you? He said, all right. He lighted one hall of the big hall. All right, you go on painting your what you want to show. The painter of that very country came up to the king, well, we also know this painting. Will you also permit us for competition? Yeah, all right. So a curtain was placed in the hall, so that one may not see what other is doing. Naturally, when the thing is done for competition, see, nobody will let anybody know. So the painter of the other country who was there, they did everything, every day something, and king was visiting that place, that they are doing something. But the painters of his own country, he did not see anything was doing on the other one. When that painting was ready, they invited the king, you may kindly come and see. Our art is ready now. He came and he saw, wonderful. And the other painter said, will you kindly visit us? He was fully convinced, they have done nothing, what will they show me? The curtain was taken out. To the amazement of the king, those very paintings were on the other wall. And there were some blemishes in the hand painting. That blemishes were also not in the other world. So what have you done? They said, we have done nothing. After all, when we have been rubbing the wall so that could reflect. If a disciple rubbing all thoughts, all impressions from his mind, except the Guru, he becomes saint. That's the simplest way to have the divine access, divine strength. So I just relate to you some from the Master's sayings. They what in the Sukhya, I've given you some quotations out of that. Just simply to let you know what is what. There's Guru Ramdas, I'll quote you that part. He says, I prayed God, O God, meet us with such a master, who is a Paras. Paras is a stone. If you touch it with some metal, that becomes gold. So meet a such a master, by coming in contact with which we become gold, valuable. Then what he said, this time my prayer was heard. God made us come in contact with such a guru. He said, I was not in metal, I was simply rust. He made me not gold, but he made me the Paras itself. You got this in the sense of the master. Tell me what? Tell me I wanted nothing except God or Guru. Then worldly people, what do we say? We want a Guru what for? So that we may get redemption, higher heavens to enjoy, pleasures of this world or the other world. Generally people are like that who go to the Guru, to the Master. He said, I am nothing like that. I was so ruling passionate to know God. I wanted someone to be to make me valuable life. Because he not made me valuable life, but he made me that stone which turns all others to gold. So when such men who got the ruling passion of seeing God, they don't want even salvation. They simply want to have a beatific vision of it, that's all. Once it is so sad, Lord Krishna went away, far away from the gopis, and they were just yearning, burning separation, crying, and Lord Krishna sent his servant Udo, go and tell them, well, why are they crying? God is within them. He did go, he gave some very good sermon, God is within you. The word Krishna comes from the root Kiri. Kiri means nearest to God, nearest to the soul. He is with you, why are you crying all these things? And they said, look here, Udo, what you say is all right. But I, we are trying to have a beautiful vision of the Lord Krishna. What is remedy with you? Is there any remedy for that? What you say is all right, but our eyes are not satisfied unless we have a glimpse of the world. So this is, you see, we are all under delusion. We are conscious entities. We have been living in this man body. But we are so much identified with the body through mind and mind and outing faculties that we have forgotten ourselves. Body is made of matter, this is changing every moment of life. And the world around us is also changing, being made of matter at the same speed as our body is changing. So as we are identified with the body and two things are moving and changing at the same speed, they appear to be stationary. Is it not grand belief? And God is love. Love is innate in our souls. That requires just to be attached to something. Because we are not seeing God, nothing that is attached to the world outside. So under a delusion and then with attachment outside, how can we dare to know God? Every time impressions are coming through the outgoing faculties. So take those who are lovers of God. Now compare yourself, ourselves. Who are lovers of God, they don't want anything else except the beautiful vision of God. That's all. They don't want this world or the other world, salvation or anything. No. Now, let's be gathering here. If you are in love with somebody, your heart goes to him. Your mind is married with nobody except with him. So such a person who has a ruling passion for God, they appear to be in the world, but they are not of the world. They are about the true renunciation. One worldly man came to his sadhu. He told him, you are a great, you are the initiation. You made a great initiation of the world all over. And the sadhu told him, dear friend, you are even bigger, greater man as compared with me because you have renounced God for the sake of the world. And we have renounced the world for the sake of God. Who is greater? This is greater. So such men, they are in the world, but they are not of the world. Their boat is in the water, but water is not in the boat. Those who come in contact with the God, with His special power, which is called Naam or Word, when our soul are tied like that, dried like anything, then the outer things do not affect him. So he gives an example that this tree, you see, is called Chamana, which gives very good perfume with the, grind it and put it on the head. And generally it is seen that those such trees are encircled with the poison side to get fruits because they are burning, you see, in poison. He said the whole tree, the world is a tree of God. It's all manifestation of its God. And the delusion which we had that is the poison snake encircling the whole universe. If you want to take the sap of the tree, what will you do? First you will kill the snake and then have it. So if a master meets you, he drags you out of the delusion. He is God. So he says, such life, when such life master meets us, what happens? That heaps of firewood. If you put in little fire to it, all of my creativity ashes. If you have got unlimited, what you say, all sins of the past lives. If you but take little of the light within from the sadhu, whose word makes light, they will burn to me all. Because your ego is lost. So long as you are the doer, you will, as you sow, so shall you reap. If you see the light of God, that is a burn away all, because you become conscious, co-worker of the divine plan. All ego is lost. Who will be there to bear the, reap the fruit of what he has sown? So, say, such like person, if you come within the radiation, such like persons, you will begin to see God. Because their body is charged. Your body charged with electricity, that you just come here to you, will affect it. If a man be smeared with perfume, if you near go by, you will have perfume or not? If he touches clothes, your clothes are perfumed. In whom the God is manifest, that radiation going on all around, naturally come sit at their feet. They become receptive. They become the same what they are. So for that he says, though have the company of those who are not, in whom God is not manifested, you'll be affected. Just like the scorpion when it bit, you have very terrified later on, at the time you only feel little pinch. Similarly, if you come across anyone who are not devoted to God, you will have the color of the world. So what all such company? So he says, within us, two societies of the saints, in whom God is manifest. When you come in contact with the one who is reverent in that, that begins to reverent within you. You go to a scent seller, you get the perfume without any payment. But if he gives you fire, then. So when you meet such a master, he gives you initiation without your attention from outside, and gives you contact with the light and sound principle within you, however little or more it may be. That depends on the eastern background, of course. So such like the society of the masters, you see. What he does, he says, as Quran says, God says, I am a hidden treasure within you. Why don't you seek me? And Guru Arjan also says, the treasure divinity within you, which is Japti, you will find. Take the word of the Master. So Master is one who gives you a capital to start with, not leave you to go on, you will have it in due course. Of course, we are thankful to everybody at those who we learn something. But it is the definition of a true master. You see? He will be able to give you something to start with. If such like, when we do find somewhere, then what we should do, he says, just sit at the feet for long. Don't leave the feet. So Guru Ram Das says further, what you should do, he says, I want to be the servants, slaves of the servants of God, in whom He is manifest. Tell you, for how long you will like to be continuing this society, he says, until my last breath of blood goes out. He say, I want to die at the feet of such a master till death. Not to live till before. He say, why are you asking for this? Among the six gifts you find, we daily prayer we have got. Be such a man with the mouthpiece of your Guru Mukh, who is a sadhu, who is imbued with the Nam power, Nam nectar. At night, before going to sleep, O God, let us sit at the feet of the dust of the feet of the saints. That's a very great prayer, highest prayer. He says, why you ask for this prayer? He says, because the most wise man, Shankar-like, they pray for it. First he said, it is all God, soul and God is no different thing. Then he gave little difference. Then he became the worshipper of incarnation. Narada is considered to be the eyes of all bhaktas. He prays for that. Visheshtan Narmur, Visheshtan Vishwamitra, there are two very great. Vishwamitra was a great, he put in 60,000 long years in penance. And Visheshtan was always putting to holy people that the satsang, company of the saints, in which God is benefit, that is more helpful, more precious. Now who could decide for the sake of people understanding? They gave to the Brahma, they came to the Vishnu, they came to the Shiva, told them, well, please tell us which is higher. Penances are the contact with the saints. He said, both are very strong people. I don't think they will agree that they went to the, you say, Chaisnag, who had the whole burden of the earth is lying. Now, I said, well, dear son, take off this burden. Only then I will decide what to say. Then Vishish told Vishwamitra, all right, now apply your force on all penances that you work. Then he put in 20 years, 20,000 years, 40,000 years, nothing happened, so he put in 50,000 years penance. The earth little moved from the head, again sat down on the head. And he said, well, please decide, what should I decide? Again the burden of the earth is over my head. Of course it little risen above, of course. Now came the turn of Vishishti, who was always speaking highly about satsang. Satsang means, you see, contact with God, who is eternal. And until then, Jeev Satya Resa, Guru Prasit God, in whom that world will take place. He said, all right, I give only little, say, an hour or so, what I have passed in the company of the saints. And the earth rose above his head, and he said, decided, he already decided. So Guru Ramdas said, that is why I am asking this prayer. And furthermore, when he says, I find wherever such masters lived, they became the places of pilgrimage. Christ lived at Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is the place of pilgrimage of all Christianity, isn't it? Prophet Muhammad lived at Makkah. Makkah is the place of pilgrimage of all the Mohammedans all the world over. Buddha was invited. Buddha tree is in India. That is the place of all the Buddhists. Guru Nanak, where he was born, that was called Nankana Sahib. When he sat under a tree, soul tree, that became feet, that becomes that one. Later Sahib. When he sat with some Bali Kandhari, that becomes Pancha Sahib. All of the places of worship, from Rishi and other things, wherever there's some person like that, that is the place of worship. Now Kabir says, oh God, I am in a great dilemma. Who is later? The world made Christ at the place at which he lived. You can say that. One world made Christ sat in so many places, all places became the places of worship. Decidedly, the one is greater, who is made Christ, you see. He said, what does he give? What we should do? He said, leave all pride of your kingship, or your erudition, or your possession. Leave all and sit at the feet of such a master. It so happened, you see, Ravidas was a great saint, at whose feet Mirabai sat. What? Have you read the kingdom?
Just about.
Hmm?
Just about, yes, sir.
I started 15 minutes late.
Excuse me.
Now just to make the whole thing short, you see. The king of Pipa King, in his jurisdiction, Ravidas lived. So all were going, he said, I'm a king, how can I go to a cobbler? He's afraid of that, he would not go. But one day Kunda remained, he went to his feet, it was evening time, he was washing the skin. Well, Master, I have come to you. All right, you'll have the nectar. He was afraid of that, that water of the skin which your skin was washed, he was very much, he could not say anything, but he did not drink the water and that drank the shirt. Ran away. Oh God, I'm saved today. I was going to, like anything. He came over and called his washerman. Well, go wash it out of those. There was some blot on the skin over there. He gave it to his daughter. He sucked that shit. And that was washed. That certainly had the charge it. That daughter of the washerman became a saint. Everybody runs to he's the same, she's the same. One day, King Ahad, my master's man's daughter, the great soul, I should go and pay him a visit. He went over there, and the daughter stood with a folded hand. He said, daughter, I have not come to you as a daughter, but I have come, you are a saint. I have also not stood up paying obeisance to you, because what I have got it is with your grace only. That was the charging that the Ravidas gave to him. This is what I want to bring home. What is the effect of the charging of the radiation of a saint? You will change. Whatever goes into the, short mind, everything becomes short. So for that he says, what is it? You are a businessman. If you go, what will you give? He says, he will rise your soul from all outside, from body below, give you a contact with God, by knowing which all your accounts of sins will be washed. This he gives. He says, then what to do? Well, please don't wait. Do the earliest possible moment, go sit at the feet of Satyamata, so that your life may be insured. When this insurance business started quite early, one man came to me, "Has your life insured?" I told him, "Well, you have come, I have got my life also insured at the feet of my master. You have come only to insure my death. Because if I die within 10 years, then I have got the full money." So such like masters come from time to time. What they have got with them, they give the contact with God, which is life in some principles. That the music of the Akhand Kirtan going on, not outer, that's beyond the matter. And that is the water of life, that's the bed of life, that we call the Aryayat. This is the need man. Master will come to raise your soul up and give you contact. What do they say? When they come with their arms like that, come on, peace. Those who want to have the permanent peace with God, come on, God has come to give you. So these things I am putting before you, devotion to the Master and what the Master gives. Without devotion to the Master, you cannot take a step further. And this devotion to the Master is the basic teaching of all Masters who came in the path. Those who start on the way, they say, "We do not hear, we left light." They say, "This is all due to them, because we have no devotion for the Master." One third of teaching is given by the word of mouth, and two thirds by receptivity, that you do. Some people come with all puffed up with their admiration and knowledge, we know better. They lose. You must become receptive if you want to have the full benefit of meeting a Master. And first benefit is what? You know how to rise above body consciousness. You know, when you rise daily above body consciousness, no fear of death. There's no escape from death. How can you conquer it? You know how to die daily. Saint Paul said, "I die daily." So these continuous three talks I gave you subject by subject. This is that without which we cannot progress further. This is the one thing I am bringing to your notice. If you become, we are, what you say, grafted into the Guru, you cannot stop falling. If you are grafted into the Guru, the whole thing of the Guru comes to you. As the reflection of the painter I told you. So please remain where you are. Master come not to touch the outer forms and rituals and the labels, to break one and start new. Or Master used to say, somebody told him, "Well, why don't you start a new religion?" He says, "Wells are already dug. Water's everywhere. Why should they dig a new well?" Basic teachings of all the Masters have been saying, whose scriptures are with us today, of all Masters who came in the path of today. We need now someone who can give a contact with that. And for that, true living is the one. And receptive. So mind that you have got full devotion for the Master. You need no questions. You will go on like anything, learning from day to day. Here it is where we need. That we are wanting. So this is the third talk I gave you in a continuative way, what I came to know at the feet of my Master, Baba Samsung, and by parallel study of scriptures I played before you quickly. As an average of level of average man, quoting from all scriptures. This is where we are wanting. You want to derive the full benefit of the man body, sit at the feet. The earliest possible. and be easy, you'll have your life insured later. Don't wait that you'll have it in due course or after that. A word in hand is better than two in the bush. They don't come to break but to fulfill. Remain your first as you have taken all right. Man, a social being, must have some social body to live in. But to know God is the highest religion and true living. So thank you for your patient hearing. You gave last 2,000 today. What I have come to know, I have placed before you. It is for you to see how far you have been benefited by it and how far you can be benefited by it. Thank you all. Tomorrow perhaps I will leave. So thank you all for your patient hearing. I think I am more fortunate than all of you because I have seen so many people before me. You are less fortunate because you have seen only once. So thank you all.
Good morning. Welcome to the Satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the last part of the talk given by Master on 18th November 1972 at Santa Clara University, California. Our reader this morning is Michael Brown. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, Pradeep, and thank you all, and good morning. Today, I'll continue my reading from Master's book, The Mystery of Death. Beginning where I left off last time I read, which was back in July, starting on page 30 of chapter 1. It is clear that under the cosmic cyclic law, all things move in a circle and all things are eternal. The dance of Shiva, at once the god of death and death leading to rebirth, not unoften at a higher level of existence, goes on forever and forever. Under this ever-evolving wheel of life, man, by a process of evolution or growth, keeps changing from a mere physical to an astral, then to causal, and finally to a spiritual being on various planes of existence, until he rightly comes to his own, knows and realizes the ever-evolving principle of consciousness in him, in its fullness, which he potentially is, and embraces the totality of his being. All the same, we live, move, and have our individual being in God, the universal being, for we are his offspring, and he is the very being of our being, and without his power working in us, we cannot exist and function. That's from Acts 17:23-24. Like begets like. Each thing, be it a plant, an animal, or a man, grows from the seed after its own kind, though according to a set pattern of life determined by the quality inherent in the seed. God giveth it, the seed, a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. 1 Corinth. Man, at the highest rung in the ladder of life on earth, is not fragmented from his Maker. The Father is in the Son in a potential form, and the Son is firmly rooted in the Father, though he may, circumstanced as he is, not know it, owing to limitations of the fleshy raiments in which he lives all the time functioning on the earth plane. Because of the power of God working in him, he verily, but unwittingly, lives in the temple of God. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, and therefore is you? The term man is merely a name applied to the incarnated God Spirit on the earth plane. This, then, is the famous doctrine of Holy Trinity, a whole consisting of three parts: the Father, the universal Spirit, the Son, the individualized Spirit clothed in body, mind, and intellect, and the Holy Ghost, the saving links or lifelines between the two, by following which the human spirit transhumanizes the human trappings, all combined in a man. Hence the exhortation of the prophet of Galilee, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Perfection comes from the perfect one. Perfection, then, is the goal of human life, which consists in self-unfoldment or evolution of the individual spirit by transcending the limitations of body, mind, and intellect, and by tapping the deep-rooted latencies in the depths of the great sea of unconsciousness yet unexplored and unknown. It is indeed a difficult task, but not impossible to achieve if one is lucky enough to contact a master soul, well-versed both in the science and art of pravidya, or the knowledge of the worlds that are heavenly and lie beyond the senses, which help us only in the realm of apravidya, or the knowledge of the empirical world of observation and experimentation. The kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:21. The kingdom of God is not to descend from the clouds above. It is already there in man, and one can witness its glory by the process of inversion, akin to death, a voluntary process, of course, while living, as was taught by the masters to their chosen disciples from times immemorial. What a man has done, man can do, if there is proper help and guidance from some God-man. Every saint had a past, every sinner has a future. That's the end of chapter 1. Chapter 2 is titled The Light of Life. We all have come down to the distant land called Earth, like so many prodigal children of God, carrying with us the potential of our Father, which we are frittering away day by day and moment by moment in exploring the ephemeral beauties and glories of this region, losing all recollection of our divine origin and the blissful parental home, and of our ancestry together with the great heritage that is ours. Born of the flesh and living in the flesh, we have lost our touch with the saving lifelines within, and as such are spiritually dead. Dead in spite of the hectic life on physical and mental planes, and the wondrous achievements in the fields of art, science, and technology. With all the comforts of life that Dame Nature has provided to her foster child, man, we yet live in a state of perpetual fear and distress, not only of others, but of our own self, for we find ourselves helplessly and hopelessly adrift on the sea of life, without any moorings to hold on and keep our bark on a steady and even keel on the tumultuous waters. Man is a microcosm, a replica of the macrocosm, the universe. The two, the individual and the universal, are ultimately interrelated part to part. All that is without is also within, and the spirit in man, despite the heavy load of physical and mental traumas, has the capacity to break through the thick enshrouding veils and peep into what lies beyond, the perpetual sway of the Supreme God, the eternal, self-existing truth, perennially the same from the beginning of time. We have in this respect the testimony of a number of mystics. Thou, while living in space, hath thy roots out of space. Learn thou to shudder down the side and soar into fields infinite. For so long as one does not rise above the world of senses, one remains an utter stranger to the world of God. Strive on and on till thou art completely out of the cage, and then shalt thou know the vanity of the realms below. Once thou art above the body and the bodily adjuncts, thy spirit shall bear testimony to the glory of God. Thy seat is verily the throne of God. Fie on thee that thou choosest to live in a hovel. Thou hast a body even when out of the body. Why then art thou afraid to get out of the body? O friend, bypass the life of the flesh, that thou mayest experience the light of life. Thou verily art the life of all that exists here. Nay, both the worlds, here and hereafter, art in thee. It is from thee that all wisdom hath descended, and it is to thee that God reveals his mysteries. In short, though thou appearest but so small, and yet the entire universe resideth in thee. Equipped as thou art with a human body and an angelic spirit, thou canst at will roam the world over or soar in the sky. What a great fun it would be to leave the body here below and wing thy way to the highest heaven above. Quit thou thy elemental house of flesh and blood, and take with thee thy mind and spirit far above. If you could but come out of the tabernacle of the flesh, it may enable you to go to the place where flesh is not. The life of the flesh is from water and food alone. For on earth you are clothed in the raiment of selfsame stuff. Why not go you nightly out of the charnel house? For you possess hands and feet that are not of this earth. It may suffice you to know that there is in you an ingress leading to thy beloved. When once you get out of the prison house of the body, you will without any effort land into a new world. The perfect master, time and again, tells us of our lost kingdom lying within, neglected since long and altogether forgotten in the mighty swirl of the world of mind and matter, in which we have been drifting all the time. This is the God-given opportunity for us to tread the untrodden path and to explore the unexplored, and to rediscover within us what is already our own, the real inner being in us. Human birth is a rare privilege indeed. It comes at the end of a long evolutionary process, beginning from rocks and minerals, then passing through the vegetable kingdom, then the world of insects, reptiles, and rodents, next to the feathery fraternity of birds and fowls, and penultimately beasts and quadrupeds. Man has in him an element which all other creatures lack or have just in infinitesimal measure, the skyey or ethereal element that gives him the power of ratiocination and discrimination, enabling him to distinguish right from wrong, virtue from vice, and to understand and to practice the higher and nobler values of life with freedom of will to choose and adopt the same for further progress, so as to be born of the Spirit, adding new dimensions to his consciousness by arising into supramental awareness, first cosmic and then of the beyond. All this is a certain possibility, though we may not know it at this moment. Ourself, says Jung, the philosopher, as the container of our whole living system, includes not only all the deposits and the sum of all that has been lived in the past, but is also the starting point, the pregnant Mother Earth, from which all future life will spring. The presentiment of things to come is known to our inner feeling as clearly as is the historical past. The idea of immortality, which arises from these psychological fundamentals, is quite legitimate. Imprisoned in the clayey mold and domineered by the mind, man is yet a puny child of clay in the vast creation, insignificant in stature and strength. He is limitless and all-pervading in soul. The seemingly individualized spirit in him is a priceless crest jewel of inestimable value. So says Beek, a mystic sage. O Beek, none in the world is poor, for each one has tucked in his girdle a precious ruby. But alas, he knows not how to untie the knot to get at the ruby, and hence goes a-begging. God, says Ramakrishna Paramahans, is in all, but all are not in him. Guru Nanak tells us of the way out, way to unravel the great mystery and to acquire mastery over everything else. By conquering the mind, you conquer the world, is his simple advice. The mind is at present is torn between countless desires of diverse nature, pulling in different directions. It has, by degrees, to be reintegrated and made whole, an undivided whole, with the love of God surging in every fiber of its being. For then alone it would become a willing instrument to serve the Spirit, instead of dragging it down and without, as it does now, into tight bottleneck corners, here, there, and everywhere and at all times. Unless this hydra-headed monster is trained and tamed, it, like the sea god Proteus, continues playing wild antics under different guises and various shapes, putting on chameleon-like the varying ground colors of its own choosing. So long as it keeps attached to the earth and all that is earthly, it keeps waxing in power and strength derived from the Mother Earth. It has, therefore, to be lifted high into the air and held aloft, as Hercules did with Antaeus, to get rid of the giant who was invincible as long as he maintained his contact with the Mother Earth from whom he derived his strength. Once the mind gets in touch with the divine melody that comes wafting from above, it is lifted up, losing for good all interest in the downpulling sense pleasures of the world. This gradually leads to a virtual death of the body that is now left far below, as well as the mind that goes up some way to merge its Chit Akash, its native habitat, the great storehouse of memories from times immemorial. And from where it descends with the blowing down of the vital airs, pranas, on the pure consciousness, wrapping it with a twofold covering, manomai and pranmai koshas, constituting the mental apparatus befitting the soul for functioning on the earth plane, through yet another covering, the physical covering, on my kosh, of the body, fitted with gross sense organs, so very necessary in the world of sensations. While confined, cabined, and cramped in the magic box of the body, we are not chained to it, though all the time we think and act as fettered prisoners. For we do not know how to unhook the indwelling spirit in the body, and how to rise above it. All the masters from ages past have been telling us with one voice, to go within and look inward for the beacon of light, the light of life, uncreated and shadowless, all luminous in its own luminosity, the only ray of hope and deliverance in the enveloping darkness of the murky prison house in which we dwell. Of that it is said, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. St. John. Take heed that the light which is in thee be not darkness. St. Luke. It is this light which is acclaimed as the day star that served as a lamp unto the feet of the faithful, enrapturing both the mind and the spirit, which alike are unwittingly attracted and begin drifting upward into realms of higher consciousness, superconsciousness, along the lighted current of life. The audible life stream, or shabd, carried as it were on the wings of the divine music springing from the holy light, metaphorically described as Pegasus, the white-winged horse of the god, or Bark, the lightning that is said to have carried the prophet to heaven, Al-Miraj. The great masters in all times and in all climes speak of this unique and wonderful house, the human body, the veritable temple of God in which dwell the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Unless the Son, the human spirit, is, by the grace of some God-man, baptized with the Holy Ghost, the power of God, made manifest in the flesh by a God-man, the prodigal son, wandering among the wonders of the wondrous world without, cannot by himself find his way out of the labyrinth to the home of his Father God. For the internal and fundamental law is, it is in flesh, the clayey mold, and through flesh, word made flesh, that we come to him who is beyond the flesh. St. Augustine. Within us is the light of life. Day and night burneth eternally this celestial lamp in the dome of the bodily shrine. Whosoever comes by this light of lights to higher realms, he soars unfettered. This is the truth and leads unto truth. He that knows the truth knows where the light is, and he who knows that light knows eternity, St. Augustine, knowing which truth shall make you free. Free from all the impregnable bonds, regrets of the past, fears of the present, and terrors of death in which we constantly live. John 8:12. The Word, or the Holy Ghost, is the great truth at the bottom of all creation. All things were made by him, the Word, and without him was not anything made that was made, says St. John. The entire world sprang from Shah, is what Nanak tells us. Again, with one word of his, this vast creation blossomed into being, and a thousand streams of life sprang into existence. In the Upanishads it is said, Eko Aham Bahu Sayam, meaning I am one and wish to become many. The Mohammedans speak of the Word as Kun Fiyakun. He willed, and lo, all the universe sprang up. Thus it is God in action, power, light and life, the melody of God, all-pervading and all-powerful, immanent in all that is visible and invisible, creating and sustaining countless creations. Speaking of creation, Nanak tells us, and countless thy plains, unapproachable and inaccessible, thy innumerable heavenly plateau. Even by the word countless, we fail to describe him. The words count and countless are indeed of little consequence for the Almighty. He who is immanent in everything and is the very life of the creation itself knows every particle thereof. To come to a better understanding of the higher life, the life of the spirit, one has to actually cross the transfrontiers of the earth life and pass through the gates of what is called death, and be reborn in the ethereal, unearthly world beyond. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. John 3:6-7. It is this contact with the light of life as manifested within by a God-man that brings to an end the peregrinations of the soul in the ever-revolving wheel of births and rebirths. The entire creation is believed to be divided into 8,400,000 species. First, water creatures, 9 million. Second, air creatures, 14 million. Third, insects, rodents, and reptiles, etc., 27 million. Fourth, trees, shrubs, herbs, and other vegetables and creepers, etc., 30 million. And fifth, all kinds of quadrupeds and animals, human beings, including gods and goddesses, demigods and godly powers, demons and wandering spirits, etc., 4 million. A jiva atman, or an individual soul, unless liberated, becomes an atman, keeps revolving in one or other material body by the compulsive force of karmas and impressions gathered from life to life. This, then, is a prelude to real life and life eternal, coming as it does from contact with the voice of the Son of God, i.e., the inner music made manifest by him. And they that hear, though dead to it now, shall live and live eternally by us. John 5:25. For it is said, when the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf be unstopped, then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness of the human heart shall waters of life break out and streams in the desert. Isaiah 35:5-6. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I see part, but then shall I know, even as I am known. The spirit, when attuned to the sound current, says Nanak, likewise, begins to see the light of God without eyes of flesh, to hear the voice of God without ears, clings on to the divine music without hands, and moves forward Godward without feet. Again, the great teacher goes on to explain, the seeing eyes see not the reality. By the grace of the Guru, one begins to discern the power of God face to face. It is why a worthy and worshipful disciple can perceive God everywhere. Our sense organs are so formed as may help us in the physical world alone, and that too imperfectly, but they fail us when we come to the supra-physical level. By seeing we see, but do not perceive. By hearing we hear, but do not understand. And we have a heart that has neither feeling nor understanding. A complete change, a marvelous change, comes about only when one learns how to invert and undergo practically a process of voluntary death while living. So the exhortation, learn how to die, die to the earth life, that you begin to live, live freely and fearlessly in the living spirit. Free from the limiting adjuncts of the bodily sheaths, one has therefore to forsake the flesh of the spirit. Love not the flesh more than the spirit, is the age-old advice of the prophet of Galilee. As long as we are at home in the body, we are absent from God. And the more one withdraws from himself, the nearer one gets to God. Nothing in creation compares with the Creator, for what is not God is nothing. With the transference of consciousness from the earth plane, death as it is commonly known, to the spiritual plane, rebirth or second birth, birth of the spirit as it is called, through contact with the master power flowing in the body, one never perishes. When all others desert you, I will not abandon you, nor allow you to perish the last. He that overcometh, transcendeth the physical in him by transhumanizing the human, shall not be hurt of the second death. Because, if ye are led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law of action and reaction or cause and effect, leading to repeated incarnations. All this is not a mere theory, it is a fact, the fact of life, for the flame of life cometh with every individual from the moment of one's birth, and it is given unto every man to know the secret of the flaming sound and the mysteries of heaven, the kingdom of God, Matthew 13:11. In this science of the beyond, logic and reasoning have no place. Actual seeing alone brings in faith and belief. The light of light, the father of lights, Swayam Jyoti, Swarup Paramatma, self-effulgent God, Nuran Allah Nur, the great celestial light, and the spirit in man, the spark from the divine flesh of the universal spirit, a drop of the consciousness from the ocean of consciousness, appearing as individualized spirit, clothed in various mantles, are all within the human body. Strange as it may seem, that though living in so close proximity to each other, one has not seen the face of the other, because we have mistaken the arid wilderness of the world as our real abode. The Master Souls not only apprise us of reality and the rich heritage to which we are entitled, but Christ-like proclaim, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 16:9. Nanak also tells us, the master has the key for the mobile house of soul chained to the body and the mind. O Nanak, without a perfect master, there is no way to escape from the prison house. But how many of us have put faith in their solemn assurances, and how many of us are prepared to take and accept the keys of the kingdom, and more, so to unlock the steely portals behind the eyes? And much less to hear the word, the holy word, of which Christ says, "He that heareth my word is passed from death unto life." In spite of our vehement daily prayers for being led from untruth to truth, from darkness to light, from death to immortality, it is indeed a strange paradox, more paradoxical than the riddles ever propounded by the Sphinx, the monster of Thebes, to the Thebans, or the enigmas of life put by Yaksha, the demon guardian of the pool of refreshing water, to the Pandva princes who went one by one to slake their thirsts, but could not do so, except Yudhishthira, the prince of Dharma, and were turned into stones for their inability to solve the same. Are we not, in fact, leading a stark and stiff life, stiff in death, as it were, like many insensate things, awaiting the advent of the Prince of Peace to rise us once more into life everlasting? By conquering the Sphinx and the Yaksha of old, keeping a dragon-like strict watch over us, lest we, lured by the legendary fleece, escape Jason-like with the much-coveted prize from his domineering sway. This, then, is the great enigma of life which has got to be solved, for without solving it, our brief existence here is dwarfed and stunted. And I'll stop there. I was reading from the Master's book, The Mystery of Death, and I finished chapter 1 and read to page 45 of chapter 2. Thank you, Master, for sharing these words of wisdom with us, and to all of you for listening.
Thank you, Michael, for reading for us. 84 of us attended today's satsang, and thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
All that is out and from God. But it pervades everywhere. It is the life principle of the entire creation. He in whom this world or now becomes personified or manifested is called a saint. For it is said that the world was made flesh and dwelt amongst us.